The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Let me check. Is the sound system okay? Are you hearing me behind? Wonderful. Dear brothers and sisters, the crown name of the last emperor of Ethiopia is called Haile Selassie, meaning power of Trinity in the Ethiopian language, Amharic. He was also called King of Kings, Conquest of the Line of Judah, Chosen of God. Haile Selassie was not the first and the last to be called Chosen of God. There were many, as we know, emperors, kings, presidents, leaders who called themselves Chosen of God. The ruler who owns this title, Chosen of God, is believed to have the authority given to him from God. Therefore, people should not question his authority, but obey his commandments. Rebelling against such authorities is the same as rebelling against God's authority. Then it brings judgment upon oneself. Such a belief is based on today's text taken from the letter of Paul to the Romans chapter 13. Let me read a few verses again. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except what which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Very difficult text. I don't know why I prefer to preach on this text, but let me say, there is a joke in Ethiopia. When I came to speak, I prepared everything written and came to you, I knew what I wanted to say. After I arrived here, only God knows what I want to say. Is it true that authorities have been established by God? Should we accept this statement as God's word or not? Or how do we understand Paul today? To answer these questions, let me start by telling you a story you know. The Europeans know it very well, better than myself. I read it in the book. So let me tell you a story of Charles V, who ruled Germany during Reformation time. In 1519, Emperor Maximilian made the last will, sometimes before his death. In his will, he ordered the electors how they should elect emperor for Germany. However, the electors did not necessarily stick to what Maximilian said. It seems that they were first and foremost obliged to their conscience. But that seems to have been malleable even then. The Pope nominated King Frederick of Saxony, hoping that he would clean up with the Lutheran thoughts in Germany. Frederick was not the only candidate. King of France and King of Spain, Charles, they both were competing for this position. The two foreigners understood that if Pope has already decided, they have very rare chance to be elected. No problem. They have idea. They began to buy God's grace by bribing electors. This became a reason for Friedrich the Wise, whom we know as protector of Luther, to resign. Friedrich did not want to be bribed, and he did not want to bribe also. The only choice is he resigned, the wise man. Carl of Spain could do this dirty business better. He spent about 1 million gulden to bribe electors, namely the Kurfürsten, I don't know how to translate it anyway, and the bishops. The Archbishop of Mainz got the most part of the money and sided Karl or Charles. Accordingly, with the help of Archbishop of Mainz, by the grace of God, Karl V became king in Germany and then the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. Big land. A year later, in 1521, Karl V, by the grace of God, called Luther to the Reichstag in Worms and ordered him to denounce his 95 theses. In fact, Karl wanted to transfer him to Rome, where Luther certainly would have been burned. Such action would have contradicted the German law, but of course that would have been possible by the grace of God. We know Friedrich helped Luther to escape. I don't want to tell you much. The grace of God costed Karl a lot of money, but the money he spent was not his own. He had to borrow it from the Fuggers, the business people in Augsburg. To pay his debt, he had to conduct the whole time wars against South Americans. He killed many indigenous South Americans, plundered their gold, and was keeping on paying the Fuggers. This history tells us clearly that Charles V or Karl V was not elected by God, but came to power through corruption. That was history. But history repeats itself. We all know in the 20th century and 21st century there were and are many leaders who believe to have divine mandate to conduct wars. We celebrate the peace of the end of the 100 years war, the First World War, which was ended in 1918. But it didn't last long. Sometime later comes the Second World War. History repeats itself. And today, if you count, in many countries, there are wars. I don't want to mention. The Gulf War was conducted in the name of God. The current wars against Yemen, Syria, Iraq, all are being conducted in the name of God. Everybody represents God. Kings, emperors, presidents, in the name of God, they throw bombs and kill people. Are these people really assigned by God? The question remains, how do we understand Paul? Why did he write such text in chapter 13, example? Was Paul a naive missionary by demanding us to believe and to obey all authorities without limitation? Romans chapter 13 is among the few biblical passages that are abused in their interpretations and usage. We all know using Romans chapter 13 as God's word, state order is religiously inflated, obedience and submissiveness is enforced, death penalty is justified, political resistance is denied. Theologians have controversially debated on this passage, very difficult. There are scholars who believe that Paul was anyway a naive writer because he degraded women in some writings. So he is naive. But this is not entirely true when we read Romans chapter 13 or the whole Roman epistle. By reading this Romans, we understand at least two things: that Paul was not naive. If you concentrate and read the Roman letter, it is a polemic letter. I don't know how whether I said it, Tony. Polemic letter. It was calculated. He knew what he was writing. When he was writing this letter, he was in Corinth, in today's Greek or Turkey, about 56-57 AD. And at that time, he knew already that there were missionaries in Rome who were preaching Christ differently from his own method of mission. So, therefore, he wrote this letter to defend his own position, at the same time to denigrate the other missionaries. Paul did not hesitate even to call himself as elect of God to be a missionary. He was repeatedly telling us. Therefore, what he says is more correct than what others say. That's the problem. After all, he is legitimized by God. So it is a very calculated data. The second is, it is not only polemic, it was also political letter. Paul wanted to make Rome as a base for his future missionary work in Spain, and he needed support from the authorities. Thus, to please the authorities in Rome, he wrote such passage that all authorities and state orders are established by God and people should accept it as it is. That is the problem. Respecting laws and regulations is okay. The problem is, are all authorities from God? Those who started World War I and II, are they from God? I don't think so. But this particular text has confused many people. Luther, our hero, was also confused when he wrote about the two kingdoms. Luther, who was challenging authorities, contradicted himself in 1525 by writing a pamphlet. Around 1525, the German farmers were protesting against oppressive system. And the king did not know what to do. And Luther wrote a pamphlet that titled, Against the Predatory and the Murderer Peasants. And I quote his letter, what Luther writes. A donkey needs to have blows. The mob need to be ruled by force. God knows that and gave the authorities not a fox tail, but sword in his hand. For you die in obedience to divine word and command. Unquote. This pamphlet of Luther was used as a guidance to kill about 6,000 farmers in one day. See how it is abused. How do we understand this letter? Thanks to be God, Paul is not the only missionary whom we should read in the Bible. There are other missionaries who have different views. For instance, if you read Acts chapter 5, you read Peter saying, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Based on this part of the Bible, the 20th century Protestant theologians came up with a new theological understanding about the state orders. I believe it was Karl Barth who came with new idea in Germany. The good example is the Burma Declaration that reads, the new interpretation, "All authority in the world and orderly regiment and laws are good orders, and that Christians owe it, subject to authority and obedient to their commandments and laws in all." And now comes the limitation. "In everything that can happen without sin. But if the command leads to sin, one ought to obey God rather than men." According to this declaration, theological declaration of 1934, the state makes orders and laws to keep justice and peace within the society. This declaration also clearly defines the duties and the responsibilities of the governors and the governed body. We who live in the democratic states know that our leaders are not elected by God, but by people. The people are the sum of responsible individuals who use their conscience and make decisions. God has created human beings not as his own puppets, but gave them conscience. Therefore, each individual voter here in Europe or somewhere in our world is responsible with his own decision. So each individual voter should obey to his own conscience, elect their leaders, and remove them whenever it is necessary. In this sense, our leaders are not legitimized by God, but by us. We know that individuals are also different. They have different views, opinions in this country also. Don't see this difference as a problem. It is helpful. It helps us to think and to act the right way. We, the Christians of the 20th century, also differ from Paul in our declaration, because we have learned to listen to several missionaries, not only one missionary. That is the difference. May God help us to use our God-given conscience to make the right decisions at the right time, so that justice be maintained here in this country, peace be established in our planet, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.